in Jewish tradition, saving a life is like saving the world, and the release of Shalit is overwhelmingly supported, certainly by 80% of Israeli public opinion, and indeed, I believe, by the vast majority in the Jewish world.
That was Dr. Colin Rubinstein, Executive Director of the Australia, Israeli and Jewish Affairs Council. He spoke of how important it was for Israel to bring Shalit home.
I think, firstly, it reflects the high value attached to human life in Jewish tradition, and for Israel in particular, the ideology and indeed the value that no soldier is going to be left on the battlefront. The Israeli army is a conscript army. It's a civilian army. Every family serves in the army. And in a way, the whole capture of, illegal capture of Gilad Shalit is something that could have happened to any family in Israel. He immediately became a household name. And, of course, the public empathised with him and his family because there, but for the grace of God, it could have been them.
For Anthony Lowenstein, independent journalist and co-founder of Independent Australian Jewish Voices, the release of Shalit is overshadowed by the thousands of Palestinian prisoners who have been imprisoned for years with their stories untold.
To me, as someone who writes critically about this conflict, it's a sad reflection that we should most certainly welcome the return of Shalit, who was kept in inhumane and illegal circumstances for 5 years, but we shouldn't ignore what's happening on the other side.
For Anthony, though he stresses that while he does not condone Shalit's imprisonment, he believes the portrayal of the event in the media has been misleading, especially with the use of words like kidnapping.
When Shalit was taken years ago, this wasn't a kidnapping. He's an armed soldier of an occupying army. This is a very important point. This doesn't justify keeping someone in a cellar for 5 years at all, at all. But it's important that we say, which most of the press has not said, you don't kidnap a soldier. A soldier is taken in the line of fire. That's how war works, as a prisoner of war. That's what this was. It doesn't justify his behaviour or justify what Hamas did to him. That's a different story. But he was not kidnapped.
Do you think that the release of these Palestinian prisoners who were jailed for various crimes show that their arrests were possibly under false pretenses then for them to be released so easily?
There are certainly some who were found guilty and of very serious crimes, but there are many others who are often charged and found guilty of minor crimes, but crimes that are designated as crimes in the West Bank. In other words, there are, for example, hundreds of children who are regularly imprisoned for months, if not longer, for essentially being in the wrong place at the wrong time or for protesting peacefully in the West Bank. And I think one of the tragedies about this release is that those kind of stories are ignored at the expense of one Israeli soldier. This is not to minimise his suffering or to minimise what's happened to him at all. But the ultimate, I think, question here, as I said, needs to be the profound imbalance of power about who is keeping prisoners. And you'd think, by much of the Western media coverage, that there's one Israeli soldier that's been kept prisoner by a terrorist organisation and all these terrorists have been released in its place, and no discussion about the reality, what the West Bank occupation means for those under occupation who are imprisoned for years. The ultimate reason why Shalit was taken in the first place remains. Not to say I justify it or defend it, but my point being that this is, in fact, if you're looking at what Hamas is saying in the last 24 hours, they see this as a victory from their perspective. When you have a profound power imbalance, which is what exists between Israel and the Palestinians, keeping someone prisoner for years actually has allowed the Palestinians to get many of their men back. Now, we might not like the way it was done, and I don't approve how it was done, but when there's a massive power imbalance in a conflict, this is how power politics works. You need to somehow find leverage against your enemy, and this is what's happened. And the underlying reasons why Shalit was taken, why these Palestinians, many of whom were imprisoned illegally for years, is not being discussed, which is why, sadly, despite some commentary saying otherwise, I don't really see at the moment any real chance of some kind of peace process beginning again. I mean, there is no peace process.